Well, I think I'm going to start off cool tonight and we're going to end up hot, all right? Start off cool and end up hot. And so while you're standing, we will pray. Father, I want to thank you right now for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that's in this room. We thank you right now that you are a miracle-working God. We thank you right now that right across this place we activate a supernatural impartation, that faith would rise, Lord, that the expectation of your people would be met tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you for the house of God, and we thank you in Jesus' name for the church of the living Christ. Amen. God bless you. The musicians have already gone. Fantastic. Now, I gave these guys, they were going to put up a verse for you, but it's a wrong one, so I'm just going to give you my own, okay? And I just want to read you a couple of verses, and then we're just going to sort of get into it, all right? And 1 Samuel, I don't know if you'd go to the Bible, you guys. Do you have Bibles? Who has a Bible anymore? It's all on your phone, eh? Yeah, exactly. So bless your word, Lord, as you read your word tonight. We thank you for the blessing. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the activation of your word. And we thank you, Lord God, that we can come and sit under your word. There's something about sitting under the word of God, you know, when it gets read. I don't know about you, but boy, revelation just soaks into my spirit and I just get fired up. And next thing, we're going to change the world. So that's kind of what I'm preaching about tonight, all right? An anointing of the Holy Spirit that will change your life and every world around you, all right? Because that's really what we are about. And that's why whenever you sit under the word of God, it should do something to you. Yes. If it's not doing something to you, it should create something. Create something out of it, you know. Even when you come in here, I just love that worship tonight. And I was thinking, man, when you come into the house of God, when you come, David gave us an incredible key. A lot of people want to know what the presence of God is like. People ask me, how do I get the presence of God in my life? How do I access the presence of God? How do I make it happen in my world? And it's real simple. Like, I think we make if we're not careful, we get the gospel complicated. Religion came to complicate the word of God so that you and I could not just have a great life and live in the flow of God's blessing in our world. That's what religion came to do. But I found that the Bible gives us incredible keys to be able to access the presence of God and have an overflow in our world. And I don't know about you, every person in here would want that, because without it, you're empty. Without it, you're empty. Nothing much happens in your life. It's just mundane and boring. But when you've got the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it happens all around you, okay? In fact, I was sitting in a conference a little while ago, and they're always too long for me, conferences, because I get fired up after the first couple of messages, okay? I don't know about you. But I'm fired up. Two messages and you should be fired up. The rest of it, your brain's becoming, I don't know what it becomes. That's why we need the moving of the Holy Spirit. That's why we need the move of the Spirit, you know. Otherwise, just all word, 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 and no actual action, you know. And we need a bit of action. In fact, I believe you guys are a C3 church now. 4 people are excited about that. But I went to a C3 church recently in the States. And I went there, and a bit like you do if you're a preacher, you go there and they take you into the green room and all that sort of deal, you know, and if you know what that's all about. And it's all about nothing, really. It's kind of about nothing, because the green room's not going to help you preach, all right? And because I already arrived fired up. I had a message in my heart. It was burning in me. The message was called Contagious. And because I just had a miracle on the way to the meeting where the contagious overflow of God's anointing in my life literally got someone healed, okay? So I arrived there fired up, and I had a message on contagious. So I had 4 points about being contagious, and it was going to be a good message. And I was sitting down. I was just sitting down in the green room, relaxing, looking at my message, which was awesome. And a little bit like Sarah came up to me this morning and said, please don't preach your best message this morning. You know, that sort of, I had that experience, okay? And anyway, so I'm sitting there, I'm ready to rock and roll. And then the pastor's not even there. And then he rocks up, we're just about to go on. And he walks in and he looked kind of frustrated, you know? And he walked in and he said, don't bore me with that preaching tonight. Anyway, what do you do with that? I'm the preacher who's just arrived. And And he said, listen, we've just had five people come through here, come through this church. And he said, they've all tried to preach their best message to impress me. And he said, I ain't impressed. He said, what I want is a move of the Holy Spirit. He said, we've had so much word, the people are becoming lethargic in the word. They're fat and not happening. And thank you for that. And he said, I want something right now that activates the miraculous. And anyway, that puts a lot of pressure on a preacher. If you don't understand that, that's a lot of pressure. I've got flipping a beautiful message set out, points and everything. And he's saying, throw that away. And I'm like, no, what do you do now? Anyway, we went into that meeting, and I want to tell you, sometimes you've just got to know what it is to step by faith and believe God. And I'm feeling here tonight, I'm feeling like I feel a bunch of miracles in my heart tonight. I'm feeling like right now, you know, you activate, and I'm talking about how do you access the presence of God? How do you access? People are always asking me that, incidentally. I travel all around the world, they say, Don, how do you get such a key place in the presence of God? Number one, because I know who I am, and that is I'm forgiven. Man, it's a great thing to know you're forgiven. If you don't know without shadow of doubt the grace and mercy of a loving God tonight, you've already missed it, okay? It is as simple as that, because the grace and mercy is available to every single person. You don't even have to be good. You just are available. It's available to you. It's like God meets you in your darkest valley and says, here, you can have it. It's for free. And I want to tell you the grace of God, it's not cheap, but it is free. And I want to tell you right now, you can access and to access his presence. And I think David gave us a great verse. And I see people coming to church and they struggle to get into the presence of God and they wonder why they're there. And they're sort of clapping and singing, picking their fingernails and looking around and all that and wondering how it is that some people seem to get right into it and some don't. And you can access the presence of God tonight right where you are. Don't wait for me because I am not the key to heaven tonight. I am not the key to your personal relationship with Christ. And we access it through one verse David gave us. And David was a master at accessing the presence of God. You've got to give it. David wasn't perfect by a long shot. I mean, this is a guy who killed people, adultery, all this sort of stuff. But man, he knew what the keys were to access the presence of God. And I think right in the beginning there, obviously it's repent and having a repentant heart, having a heart that's contrite toward God, that God, here I am, Lord God, I know my need of your forgiveness. I know my need of your grace, which is available to every person here tonight. But then David wrote an incredible verse in Psalm 100, verse 4, and he said, here's the key that unlocks the very presence to the throne room of God. Here's the key that unlocks it, he said. I'm going to write it down for you. Most miss it, but I'm going to write it down for you. People skim over it. They don't watch it. They don't look at it. But he said, here it is, and I'll give it to you tonight. You will enter his gates with thanksgiving, and you will enter his courts with praise. And people ask me, now, why do we have, like, why can't we just come and sit under the word? Why can't we just come to church and just have somebody preach the word? Well, the reality is, if you want to get into his presence, then David said you will enter the gate with thanksgiving. And boy, there's a key right there. How long since you wrote a letter to someone thanking them for their way they blessed you? How long since you wrote a letter to the person who actually instigated your connection with Christ? How long since you wrote a letter to the person who first discipled you and mentored you so that you would not be some kind of flaky believer, but you would be a on fire Holy Ghost power believer? How long since you wrote that? How long were you just thankful when you woke up this morning without a white chalk line around you? How long were you just thankful that you sat in church and you weren't feeling great about it and you checked your pulse and it's still going? Like, we need to be the most thankful people on the planet. Honestly, I think we miss it sometimes because we're just not thankful. Like, get thankful about the goodness of God in your world. And people say to me, but Don, you don't understand how bad it is to me. And if I was being horrible, I would say I don't care. But the really, but I will qualify that by saying I've been to the very edge of the valley of hell and walked through that thing and came out the other side. And let me tell you right now, and people say, how did that? Well, when my son got killed, when I was paralyzed in a bed pack. paralyzed from the neck down. Fear gripped me, depression gripped me, thinking I would never walk again. Doctors telling you it's over, nothing will ever work in your body again. Your life expectancy short. Man, you better believe that's a valley of depression right there. But I want to tell you right now, there's a God who's bigger. He's bigger than your depression. And I want to tell you right now, there's a great song. I don't know if you sing it here, but it says, I'm going to sing louder than the enemy's voice again. I'm going to sing louder than my doubt. I'm going to sing it out louder than anything that comes against me. And thank God for a godly wife, which will always help you. And even when in the midst of depression and amidst the fear, Julia came in and said, I refuse to live. Well, you need people around you who are going to actually challenge you a bit to get out of your slackness. You know, it's easy to get slack. It's easy just to get boring and unmotivated and uninteresting. And she came, I remember Julia coming to the hospital. I was crying, depressed. I wanted to sort of be gone, not here anymore. Lots of people get there. The enemy is a master at causing thoughts of ending your life and finishing yourself, and it's never going to get any better. He's a master. And Julia came in and said, what the heck's wrong with you? Where's that man of faith that I was married to? Time you got back into the Word and got that alive in your life. And then she put, I've told you all the story, and she put that Walkman thing on. Ears, things on my ears. I couldn't touch them, but it was going. And it was 425 hours of Dr. Yongyi Cho preaching faith will unlock the miraculous in your life. Faith will unlock the miraculous. Not faith in faith, but faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Forget faith and faith. You've got to have faith in the blood of Jesus that unlocks you. Anyway, I couldn't get it off. If I could have, I would have, because you sort of get over it after a while. And thank goodness I couldn't get it off, because then a powerful thought came out. And he said this, most people don't understand faith because they do not understand the power of their confession. Confession. And I'm not talking positive confession. I'm not talking New Age stuff here. I'm talking confessing the Word of God over your world that will unlock possibilities and unlock the miraculous. And tonight, if you're in this meeting, I told you I feel 100 miracles on the inside. But what I found is, if you want the presence of God to turn up in a meeting, and I notice he does turn up when his people get together, but I think to activate the miraculous, we need to define the moment. And sometimes we just need to define it. We need to name it and call it what it is, because there's power in the confession of our voice. So if we call this a night of the supernatural breakthrough and the miraculous, then that's what we get, okay? So it doesn't matter where you're sitting or who lays hands on you, you'll get a miracle tonight in Jesus' name. So we activate the miraculous in this place. And I feel, and thank you very much, Eleanor, because I felt tonight when you got up there after that song and you said there were people, I can't remember the exact words now, but bound up and people that were going to be free. I felt God say to me tonight that the first area he's going to work in the area of the miraculous is God's going to unlock people out of prisons where there are no bars, but all you can see is bars. And God said to me, the bars are going to dissipate before your eyes tonight because there's an anointing of freedom going to come. And I feel an anointing of freedom, miracles of freedom, financial freedom, health freedom. I feel there are miracles in this place right now that will activate freedom. And you've got to, that's why we praise him. That's why we thank him. That's why we get into praise and thanksgiving, because it unlocks an atmosphere that releases the anointing. Everybody say the anointing, because that's what I'm meant to be preaching on, is the anointing. Thank you for reminding me. Thank you, Julia. Frothing at the mouth. Too excited. Boy, you guys are looking good tonight, eh? You seriously are looking good. And I'm looking at this side, and I think you're the older group. You guys are looking all right, too. Not wanting to offend anybody there. And Julia, you're sitting there, youthful one. How dare I call you old? But her name actually literally means youthful. Every time I call her Julia, youthful one, that's why she's so flipping gorgeous. That's why I've been married to her for 45, nearly 46 years now. And it's still awesome. And that's cool. Let's not get tangled up there. Moving on. Where was I? Miracles, that's it. And the anointing, man, the anointing. So David gave us a key to unlock that access way See, we need to get access into the very throne room of God in our own lives. And you don't, doesn't mean you have to go somewhere. It happens where you are. You can access His presence right now. And it's thanksgiving and it's praise. That's why when you start getting healed. See, before I ever walked, I was thanking God for my walking. I was still on the stretcher. I was still laying there without feeling one part of my body. I couldn't feel anything. Doctors are still amazed, incidentally. This is like 10 years down the track now. They still say, Don, we cannot understand how you have no pain. I mean, I've never had an operation. I've never had any surgery or anything. I said, we don't need any of that. We're just going to trust God. And whether that's good or bad in your eye, I don't care. But that's where I'm at, all right? And so they say, how is it that you cannot have pain? And they cannot believe that, okay, when they show me my x-ray, which still shows that my spinal cord cannot function correctly for the rest of my body, they still show me that, it's still today. But God told me, God gave me this verse, you will not walk by sight, you will walk by faith. And I'll choose every time to walk by faith in the Word of God. I'll choose every time. And I'm not here so much to motivate you with that stuff tonight. I want to impart something into you that would cause you to hunger for the anointing. People get motivated and then they go a week and they're out of fuel and that's useless, you know. We want people that just keep going. And so I'm here tonight to create a hunger within you that would want more of the anointing. I want to shine with the anointing, you know. And you can sit in meetings. Like that. I go to conferences. I sit there. Like I said to you tonight, I get bored after about two messages. And because I'm like, let's go and activate what God just did. Let's go and activate. A little while ago, we're in a conference. Julia and I in a conference. I said, see you later, baby. I'm out of here. And I don't know whether she agreed with that at the time. And but I had a car to sell, so I had a slight excuse, okay? Slight excuse. So I had a car to sell. So I left church and went to sell the car. Now, this is an amazing story because I went and I felt fired up and I was talking to some people next to me in the conference and in the room where you go where a whole lot of pastors are, and it was like, I didn't enjoy it. It was sort of a bit of competition and stuff. Anyway, we won't talk about that either. Half the stuff I'm talking about we can't talk about. But I'll tell you this, and I thought I'm out of here and I went to sell this car. Now, I phoned up because someone had sent me a message on the for sale thing I'd put and said, yes, I'd like to buy your car. But I couldn't do it because I was at the conference, all right? So 2 days later, I said, would this be a good time? Just send a text. And she said to me, yes, it'd be a fine time. And so I had to drive all over to West Auckland. I live in the north, on the North Shore. So to go anywhere, across the bridge, the west, all of that's out of bounds for us, okay? And so I said, no, I'll come to the west. And I went and finally found her in the west. And I met with her. And she came out and she was a Singaporean young woman. She was 24 years old. And she came out and she kind of looked very, I was amazed at her confidence. She started kicking the tyres, and I don't know whether that does anything, but she kicked the tyre, opened the doors and everything, and even wanted to look under the bonnet. And I thought, what would you know? Anyway, I showed her under the bonnet. And then it's a very, sorry, forgot the day we live in, all right? and she said, have you got the, what is it called, warrant of fitness thing? And I said, look, I'm very sorry, I never had time to get the warrant. She said, you told me you'd get a warrant of fitness. And I said, well, sorry, I haven't got it. Do you want the car or don't you? And she said, not without a warrant of fitness. And she said, can you get one? And I said, well, you'll have to come with me if we're going to get a warrant of fitness. And so to get in the car with someone who's anointed is dangerous. Someone who is contagious with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So she gets in the car with me and off we go. And then it was quite funny actually because we got going about 10 feet and God gave me a word for her, you know. So I prophesied over her in the car. Just prophesied. I said, God just showed me this about you. I said, you're going to be like a warrior princess for God. You're going to be a mighty woman of God and God's going to get a hold of you. And she looked at me like, what the heck's happened here? You know, who are you? Who are you? What's this about? Did you get me in the car to tell me this stuff? And all that sort of talk, you know. We got a bit further down the road and I started telling about who I was and what God's done in my life and who God is to me. And the next thing she's like, do you mind turning around? We got to go pick up my boyfriend. And And this is what she said, he needs to hear what you got to say. And so she said, I've never heard anything like this. She said, this is amazing. And she started really sparking up, you know, and like, what we're doing is trying to get a warrant for the car, right? Anyway, so we had to turn around and go backwards. We had to go the other way to from where we're going for a warrant. We went and picked up her boyfriend. He gets in the car. She made him sit in the back, and he sits in the back, and we're driving along. She said, now you tell him what you told me. And so I had to repeat the whole thing again. Next thing, they're both getting fired up, and we're traveling, and I'm going to sell them the car, right? Well, all we've got to do is get a warrant. We get to the place where it's getting checked for a warrant, and the guy says to me, okay, go have a coffee with them, and I'll do the warrant while you have a coffee. So we went to this little cafe. We sit down in the cafe, and we carry on, and they started questioning me, you know, is this God for real? How does he work? I mean, are you true? Does God really make you into a new person? And I said, he'll make you into a brand new person. And so we're sitting in a cafe, and next thing, he says to me, well, I want it. How do I get it? Like, we're sitting in a cafe. It's full on. We're not whispering to each other. And so right there in the middle of the cafe, I had the privilege and the honor of leading them both to Christ. And they get born again. While I'm praying, God says, give them the car. This is why we're praying the sinner's prayer. Be very careful when you see. Yeah. We want to be. Yeah, that is funnier than you think. And so I'm arguing with God whilst leading them to Christ, okay? And I didn't really do it anyway, because I get a bit bored with that. You say to someone, you know, follow me, forgive me for my sin, Jesus, forgive me for my sin. I receive Christ my Saviour. I promise I'll follow you. And you get sort of sick of that. It's quite like, it's repetitive stuff, you know? And I'm like, man, real salvation is when the person, I don't care what they say. Like, I've had people say the prayer and they've thrown in a couple of cuss words in the middle of the prayer, but Jesus came in all the same, you know? And how does that happen? I don't know. How do any of us, you know, it's by faith we are saved, by the grace of a loving God, and by faith in him we receive him as our Saviour. Anyway, so they pray this prayer and it was awesome, and God's saying to me, give them the car. And I'm having an argument with God. I'm saying there's no way I'm going to tell them that. And so I'm just holding that in, you know. I'm like, no way. I'll decide later on whether I do that. Let's see. Let's see if they really meant that prayer. And anyway, and it is funny, but however. And we go back to the warrant place, and he says, can't give you a warrant. It needs two new tyres. And I'm thinking, hang on, God, I'm giving this thing away. If I am giving it away, I've got to buy two new tyres. Do I charge them for that? And so I'm having this ongoing. But I'll tell you right now, see, God is a God of generosity. And God, you see, I believe God, sometimes we want to be obedient, we want to obey God, but we're not willing enough to actually go the full way. God's looking for our willingness, you know. Yeah, God, I want to follow you. Yeah, I want to lead people to grow. But are you willing enough to go all the way? Willingness is a huge key. Anyway, so we end up taking it. We get two new tyres, and oh, my goodness, two new tyres. I didn't even go around for quotes to get the cheapest one. I didn't have time. Just put those tyres on, whatever they cost, and then off we go. And I'm not telling them. And then I said, well, what we'll do now is we'll take it around and get the ownership change. We went and got the ownership change, and when she came back, she wanted to drive the car. Can't tell you that bit either. But I wouldn't allow her to drive the car. So, and simply because she's not a Kiwi, and who knows how she drives. And it's not yet. I haven't got the money yet. So anyway, and we're driving in a road. We've now got the ownership change. It's actually her car and I'm driving it. And then she says, okay, let's go to the bank and get the money. We go to the bank. And all the time God's like, what did I say to you? Didn't I tell you to give them the car? Why are we driving to the bank? And anyway, we're driving to the bank. And I'm kind of feeling that funny guilt thing you feel, that thing. A lot of people live in that realm. They live guilty for most of their life because they never crack it. They allow guilt to rule in their world, and it robs them of so much. They can't live free. They can't even have fun in the presence of God because guilt captivates them and locks them down. And if you're not free, who's going to listen to you? We want to be soul winners. We want to be influential. We want to affect the plane that we're traveling on. We want to affect the bus we're traveling on. But we can't affect nothing because we're locked down. Prison chains and grills in front of us. Jesus came to break the chains of condemnation, to release us from prisons, he said. In fact, he said, I'll send an earthquake and shake the prison loose and cause you to be generous with whatever you've got, because it'll unlock the expectation of a holy God. And we miss it so many times, man. And I want to challenge you right now, if there's a need around here you can give to that flipping thing, because it'll unlock a victory in your life you've never had before. People say to me, Don, I want the anointing. Don, I want the anointing. Honestly, get the anointing by getting free in God, listening to his voice, being willing enough to obey, going the full way. So anyway, we get all the money on it, and she gets cash. Cash. It's everything of it's tempting. More tempting, by the way. The longer you leave it, incidentally, for somebody here, the longer you leave it, the more tempting it gets. The longer you mess with that thing that God's already tried to deal with, the worse it gets as you go further down the road. She comes back with all these foldies. And then God's saying, what are you going to do now? And I'm saying, I'm going to take the money, thank you. Money or the bag. Remember that old show? And anyway, we drove. I said, look, you've got to drop me back to my house. We drove all the way to my house, and I'm having a battle on the way. Man, I can see it. I'm looking at the cash out of the corner of my eye and listening to God out of this ear. And then all the way back to the house, and I get back there, we get out of the car. I get out of the car because I'm still driving, all right? And then I get out of the car, and she gets out, and she comes running around, and she says, thank you so much. She said, I just love it. I feel so brand new. I feel so incredibly released of all my past. I feel like this is the greatest day of my life. And she's handing the money over with a grin from ear to ear. She's happy about it. And I was wanting to be happy about receiving it. Anyway, and I ended up, I said, look, you know what? I said, when you guys prayed that prayer today, God spoke to me, and he said, I want you to give them the car, and I want them to be blessed, because God said, I'm going to use them back in their own nation when they go back, and they'll never forget this moment, and they'll never forget this opportunity. And so I said, so she gave me all the money, incidentally, so I had it in my hand, feeling it, just feeling it. That's half the problem too. A lot of people just want to feel it just for, oh God, just let me feel it for one more time. And then that's the end of you, and you're back in defeat, and you're back in discouragement, and you're back in the chains of the bondage of the addiction that held you. Just want to feel it one more time. Why don't we just listen and obey? And the hardest thing in the world was saying, so here's the deal, I'm giving it all back to you. And boy, she started crying her heart out, and the power of God came down. I ended up praying for them and laying hands on them, and next thing they went, and they left my driveway on cloud 99. You talk about accessing the presence of God, they'd gone right into the throne room, and they walked out of there in victory. Now, here's the thing, and then I went back to the conference. And I was moaning to God on the way. New tires. Think of the cost of that thing, God. I'd already done a whole heap of work on it. Julia would be mad at me because I've lost all the money now. I've given the flipping car away. Right back there with penniless. I've arrived back penniless. I'm broke, God. And anyway, so I come walking in. I come into the conference. I was not even looking joyful. I came into the conference a bit like this. You know. And this guy walks up to me. This is as true as I stand here, man. This is unbelievable. And I walk into the conference, and a guy, he could be here tonight, I don't know. I've forgotten what he looks like already. And anyway, he walks up to me and he said, Don McDonnell, isn't it? And I said, well, yes, it is, actually. And glad you recognize the good looks. But he walks up to me and he says, God spoke to me, and I wasn't even there, okay? I was out selling a car, giving a car away. Sorry, let's redefine it. I was out giving a car away, and he's in the last session, and he said, when I was in the last session, God spoke to me about you, and I wasn't even there. That shows you how cool God is. Like, you don't even have to be there. Like, God can speak to someone on the other side of the planet right now if you're obedient. See, people don't realize you can make a decision for Christ tonight that I'm going all the way, that I'm going to get anointed in the power and fire of God, and I'm going to become an activated disciple in the gifts of the Spirit and change my world. And God, I have no idea how that's going to happen. And on the other side of the planet, God will have someone send you an email, a text, who knows what, connect with you on Facebook and sow something into your life that'll change your destiny. And he walks up to me out of the blue and he says, Don McDonnell, 18 years ago, you met me on a train and you led me to Christ just sitting beside me. And he said, you told me about your experience and then you gave me the opportunity before I left to receive Christ as my Savior. And he said, we've never talked again and here we are today and God told me to give you this. And he pulls an envelope out of his pocket and hands it to me just like, oh, there's an envelope right here. And hands it to me just like that and says, that's what God told me to give you today. And do you know, this is the miracle. This is the God we serve, okay? This is the God we serve. I was moaning on the way there because I'd not been generous. I didn't have a generous enough spirit. Well, we got to get unlocked, man. I tell you, let the kingdom of God get unlocked in generosity. And who knows? God will send such a revival to it. You know, if the church got unlocked in this, there'd be a revival unprecedented in our nation. New Zealand could show the way. I'm praying we will. And I'm praying that people will get unlocked like never before in the generous anointing of the Holy Spirit. Anyway, I opened the envelope. Couldn't wait to open it because I'd just lost a whole lot of money. And it was the exact amount that I'd just given, the exact amount that I'd just given to this girl. And I want to tell you right now, God is a God of the unexpected. He's a God of favor. And whoever's here tonight and you've never experienced that favor of God, it's probably just because you didn't surrender. It's like people argue about it. They try to get... In fact, I never argue about the gospel because it's not about arguing. It's about the generosity and the favor of God and the love of God. And God, simply, the bottom line is, for God so loved that he gave. It's pretty... Actually, you don't even have to get an argument about it. It's just God so loved that he gave. We haven't got to any of the verses we're going to use. Once again, time's probably up. Yes, it is. But the anointing. And I want to pray for people tonight. Some of you have got healed while you laughed, actually. They reckon laughter is a good medicine. You'll just get healed. You get saved. Prison doors disappear when you laugh, I tell you. Prison doors just go. Sometimes when you realize the freedom that there is in Christ. Give me another drink of that water, baby, please. Maybe we should preach on the woman at the well. Give me some water. Tonight, I want to preach on. This is the anointing. We barely got time, but let me just give you one verse because people love it when you do. And we've got to do it. Here it goes. I was just going to get to this anyway. And here it is. 1 Samuel. We started here. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul since I have rejected him as king? You know what? I meet thousands of people who are locked down. And they're locked down. God's actually saying here, how long will you get stuck where you are without going in what I've already purposed and planned for your life, okay? How long will you stop right here? How long before you actually get up and get going? He said, go on down and find this guy, Jesse. He's got a son who I'm going to anoint, okay? And he goes down there and all the sons are lined up, you know, the tough guy to the weakest guy. And the guy who looked more unlikely, who wasn't even there, David, out in the hills. And Samuel says, well, the guy I'm looking for ain't here because God's told me specifically who I will anoint and I'll know it the minute I see it. And he wasn't there. So Samuel is looking for this guy. And then down here it says in verse 7, the Lord does not look at the things human beings look at. People look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And Jesse called them over and he had them all stand before this guy Samuel who had the anointing oil in his hand. And Samuel said, none of them are the one that God has anointed to be king. Their hearts are not in the right place. Their spirit not right. God is looking for someone who's got a heart that's saying, God, I want you to be all in all in my life, okay? I want to trust you to the end. I want to rely on you and nothing else, you know? And God's looking for this. So then it says in verse, open my eyes wider, I might be able to see it. I think it's verse 13, yes, 13. And so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power, and Samuel then went to Ramah. My first point tonight, the anointing will propel you toward your destiny in Christ. Without the anointing, you're struggling to get there. You go out, you go to sell a car, you hear the voice of God, you're not too sure, and it just doesn't happen. But with the anointing, God will unlock the power of God within you to be obedient to Christ and see the miraculous happen. See the miraculous happen. Then it goes on. It gets even more exciting. And down in verse 18, it's one of the servants, Saul's then in depression, okay? Saul gets in depression. And one of his servants said, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the harp, a bit like these guys up here tonight. Man alive, Rocky playing that bass guitar. Got me pretty fired up tonight. Wherever you are, Rocky, you should be up here, but you're not. Oh, there you are, hiding around the corner. He was playing the bass guitar like Rocky does. This is what the sermon said. He's a brave man, he's a warrior, he speaks well, and he's good looking, like Rocky. And the Lord is with him. And I want to tell you this right now. This is the other thing the anointing will do to you. It will enable the atmosphere you're in to be transformed into a place of expectation for miracles and revival, okay? That's why right now you can get healed even right here, right now, okay? Because it shifts the atmosphere. We need to shift the atmosphere. And then even one third thing, I'll give you one more final point tonight, and that's a little bit further on in verse 34. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When the lion and the bear came to carry the sheep off, I went after it and struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be nothing to me. And I want to tell you right now, the third and final thing that the anointing does in your life, it enables you to take down giants in your life, okay? The giants of the words that get spoken over you, giants of your past, giants of the circumstances you're facing now, and the word of God will enable you to have such an anointing that even habits and situations in your life have no authority in your life. You'll pull those giants down, you'll come to church with an expectation heart, and you'll rise above every circumstance in Jesus' name. So we want to get the anointing on you, okay? And I'm into the anointing tonight. One more verse, let me read it to you. I'm so fired up about this now. I need to stop preaching, but we're still going. I'll stop in a second. The good man brings good things. Matthew chapter 6, verse 45, yeah. The good man brings good things out of the good treasure of his heart. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil treasure that's in his heart. But out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow, okay? Out of the overflow. There's a story in Matthew chapter 25 about five virgins who are foolish, five virgins who are wise. I've got a tap here tonight. I want to talk to you about your connection with God, okay? And I want to do, tonight we're going to anoint people with the Holy Spirit, okay? And here's the deal. This is a faucet I hold in my hand. It's got two pipes coming out of it. It can be the hot or cold. Jesus said, I would sooner you were hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm in the middle, that's where a lot of people like to be, I'll spew you out of my mouth, okay? I want you to be hot, I want you to be cold. This has got two. One connects to the hot, one connects to the cold. And you can't, it's like you've got to adjust this to get it right, all right? You've got to adjust it. You've got to adjust your life. You've got to get your life positioned right. You've got to get the right. You've got to get yourself in the presence of God to enable that to happen. And when you turn this on, out comes the water. And when that flow starts to come and the anointing comes, I want to tell you, it breaks chains. It releases captives. People get set free. Chains break. Healing happens. Legs get healed. Bodies get healed. Blind eyes pop open. Oh, man, there's no end to what God can do. Broken necks will get restored in Jesus' name. And there is a very nice looking faucet. Chrome. Sometimes there's a lot, boy, I meet people who are like this. They look shiny, so shiny. They look amazing. They've got everything there that should make it work, but there ain't zero connection to anything. And if you're not connected, there's going to be no flow. And what do you connect? So this is why it's so important to be connected to local church. This is so important to be connected around here somewhere. And so you've got these shiny taps that you're wanting something to pour it into me, man. Pour it into me. And yet nothing seems to come out. and you'll sit beside someone on an aeroplane who is totally broken, busted to pieces, and all they want is a shiny tap to deliver. But the tap can't deliver because it ain't connected to nothing. Hasn't read the Bible for 16 weeks, doesn't know what the Word of God says about the power of the victory of deliverance and breakthrough, doesn't know the keys that unlock the power of the gospel. And so although it looks shiny, there ain't nobody home. There's no flow. They're trying to deliver out of their own strength. So that's that shiny tap. Then we've got a tap like this, just a huckery old garden hose tap. Hasn't even got two things. It's only got one. It can only either be hot or cold. I love this tap because it doesn't look as flash as that one. It's not quite as sharp looking. It's just, it's a workhorse tap. It's like this tap does not have the good looks, the identity that tap should have, but this tap knows who it is in Christ because it's connected. Because it's connected to Christ, connected to the flow. This tap doesn't have two for it. It can only be one or the other. And I want to challenge you tonight, which one are you and what's flowing out of you tonight? My illustrator, I hope you remember this tap. Like if I come along here and I say, do you want an anointing on your life? Yes. Anybody want an anointing on their life? Yeah. 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 So what we should be able to do is say, God, turn on the flow. Yeah. God, I want to get connected to you and I want you to turn on the flow. I want you to flow through me. I want you to pour out on me, God. Anybody want God to pour out on them tonight? Yeah. Let's go around a few. Let's pour an anointing on you right now. God, we just pour an anointing on you right now. Can you feel it coming on? No? Try it over here. Pour an anointing on you. Pour the anointing on him. You got water on it. Did you fill it up? Did you feel that?
I feel anointed.
Sorry about the water, but you look good with it on you. Oh, sorry. You look good with it on you. This tap doesn't look as good as the other one, and I want to say this is my final thought here tonight. Because a lot of people put themselves down and say, I couldn't flow in the anointing because I'm not quite what I think I should be. When I look in the mirror, I don't know whether I line up to what God could use. And let me tell you, God can use that shiny tap. He can use this old garden tap. God can use you, whether you feel that you're anointed, whether you feel that you're good enough. You see, the devil's the greatest liar. He'll condemn you and lock you down. But God says, I want you to walk in my anointing and know my anointing on your life. And I believe out of here tonight, I want to tell you, here's what's going to happen. I prophesy this right now. The four things God showed me. Number one, freedom. Number two, God showed me God is going to unlock supernatural visions in people's lives where you will see things. You will have images come before your eyes, even in your dreams and your sleep, and you will see things that God's about to unlock in your future. So in essence, what we're going to do is unlock the future over your lives. The future. The future. God's unlocking future. God's going to unlock one more thing. He's going to unlock evangelistic anointing to see souls saved all over this church, all over your life. And the other thing God's going to unlock, God is going to unlock you from sickness. God's going to unlock you from pain, and God's going to unlock you from disease tonight in Jesus' name. Are you ready for it?